Even if he was alive, which he isn't, wouldn't you want to get as far away from here as possible, as far away from you?
We both know this isn't over. I have to go back to the Terrifier.
This is a very special sub-mini-sode. I don't know what to call it. I am here with friend of the show, Marcus Robinson. Marcus, how are you?
I'm great, as usual.
As usual. Marcus and I are here in a very special episode. We're going to call Baron in a second. We're going to get some initial thoughts here. But he and I have just come out of the movie Terrifier 3, which we watched together, which I don't think we've ever seen a movie together.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
We've talked about movies and
together,
we've met to talk about movies before
yeah.
I don't think we've actually so we watched Terrifier 3. This is a planned thing. Marcus and I were like, hey, like, it's gonna come out in a couple weeks, we should go see it together, and a little joke turned into a real thing.
Yeah.
And here we are. So we're gonna get some initial thoughts, and then we're gonna get Aaron on the horn. But something that I want to kind of address off the bat is, Marcus, are you a fan of the Terrifier movies?
I'm a fan of Art the Clown more so than the actual movies.
Like his antics?
Yeah, his antics, yeah. The acting. I think he can carry a scene. You know, some of the scenes in these movies are not basic, but, you know, I can see where they're going. But with Art, it's always... there's always something to look forward to. He's always going to do some gag or, you know, some facial expression that's going to, you know, it's interesting. He's a character that really reminds me of, like a Freddy Krueger type Michael Myers mixed together.
Yeah.
In some kind of like silent film.
if they had like a silent film baby
or something.
Yeah. Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger is pretty apropos because pretty silent.
Yeah.
And does some, you know, murders people.
Yeah.
Not in their sleep, but definitely. Well,
there was one.
He was sleeping. Yeah, we're thinking of the same thing.
He was sleeping. Yeah, he was sleeping.
Yeah. Well, you've seen the other two. I haven't seen the first one.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, bits of the second one, and I kind of, like, know where the story goes, but what did you initially think of this third one?
Of the third one?
Hot take.
Okay, here's my hot take. I think it's similar to the second one for me. I love Art. I can watch Art all day. The story itself is a little... when Art's not on the screen, it's a hard sell.
Yeah.
It's a hard sell. But he's on the screen a lot.
Yeah.
They put him in as much as possible. It's the wizardry story stuff that I don't love. Yeah. And I honestly, the movies are too long because of it.
Yeah.
I get that they have to do something with
have
these
a
stories,
story,
but
perhaps?
I honestly don't think they do.
Yeah.
I think
like,
art
it could just be like murdering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it works well enough as kind of like a super dark comedy horror.
Yeah, good point.
Without this story. I think the story bogs it down a lot.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, if I were to say something positive about the story, it's like the porn-level acting does help with the art kind of stuff.
There were some good actors in here. Like you know, some of the adult people were much more like, okay, well, they've acted before. And some of the other people were always like, this is why I was like, after the movie, I was like, Marcus, you know, making movies is hard, but I think we can make one. It's like, probably because like, I saw some of these actors, I'm like, they're not great.
Yeah.
They're probably like $50 a day. Right. Not bad, you know?
No, for sure. And I everybody's in on the joke.
Yes.
I you know, you've seen movies that are like on Netflix or whatever that are it's meant for to be really serious. This is everybody's in on this like really dark joke here that they're saying. So everybody's like at a level of 11, you know.
Like that really helps out because a movie that Aaron and I we're going to get to Aaron in a moment here, but a movie that Aaron and I really love is The FP.
Okay.
And the reason why the FP works is because everybody is in on the joke too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're all acting in this like ridiculous movie about Fraser Park outside of like, you know, Bakersfield and wherever else. So it's like, but everybody's giving it their all, and that actually adds a lot. So
it does.
Yeah, I think for me, like somebody who doesn't really watch horror movies, and where I, you know, I was joking about it, it's like I'm gonna be looking through my eyes, like. Uh-huh. It wasn't terrible, you know? I'm going to, like, retch in my seat and throw up in my seat.
Right.
It was more of a, this is actually kind of funny. Like, it's actually, like, kind of not enjoyable, like, in a negative, dark way. More just like in a, you know, Art is a goof. He's a goof. So I really dug that about the movie. Is just, like what you're saying, like, the silent aspect of things. Not terrible. As far as, like, the other things go, I would agree with you that maybe some of the storylines weren't, like, they kind of got in the way. Because I think even you and I talked about it after the movie. I was like, I kind of want to just go back to Art killing people.
Yeah. I will say this, too, just to add to what I did like about the movie. I do remember most of the last movie, but in this movie, it seemed like there was a lot of talent behind the visual effects.
Oh, okay.
The practical effects.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of care. I haven't seen any, you know, behind the scenes of any of this, but I would love to see like a behind the scenes of like how much time they took in these practical effects, because it looks like some real love of the game 80s, you know, horror stuff. So
yeah, that was one of the things that I also noted too, was, I think one of the things that why it made it a little bit less like, I don't know. It wasn't a spooky movie. It's kind of just more like visually like unpleasant. Yeah, gross out kind of horror. I think one of the things that I was also picking out, which is why it made it interesting, was how did they do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's why I was like, oh, that's pretty clever about how they did, you know, this thing or that thing. It's like at some points you can tell like it's animatronic or whatever the case might be. But I'm pleasantly surprised with myself about having like
proud of you.
About having like sat through this movie, 2 hours some odd change of this movie, and being able to kind of like watch it with you, that probably helped out. But I think also what helped out was the crowd.
Yeah, like definitely. This is meant to be seen in a large group of people who are really into the joke as well.
Yeah.
There was one. We saw one people like, walk out.
Yeah, a couple. Yeah,
and
together.
I feel like it was. If I were to guess, it was because one of them was blindsided by this and wasn't into the joke being told.
Oh, I see.
And I do feel like you have to come in either having watched the first one or
You have to know what Art's about.
You have to know what Art's about.
Yeah,
and they kind of left at like a shower scene, so. That's where I was like, okay, I get why they might have left, but
sure, the shower scene. there was many scenes before that were a lot more
gruesome.
The scenarios were a lot more pushing the limit of what who was dying and how they were dying. I think the shower scene was more for like. It was like very 80s goofy kind of like salacious stuff. If that's what that's what pushed him over the edge. That's kind of surprising. Because I feel like you could see that in like a Jason movie.
I think even Jason would be maybe a little bit meaner about what he did, what he would do in that situation.
There's
something
about Art laughing and doing like his little chuckle.
Silent laughing
and just doing little mime chuckles that makes even the most grotesque scenes or the most like cringy scenes pleasant.
Yeah.
More palatable, I guess.
More palatable, yeah. And quite honestly, I know that I've watched too many movies or too many horror movies or too many whatever movies just because when that shower scene happened and he uses the weapon he used, I was like, there's only one logical place where this can go. And they did it.
That's fair. Yeah, they're not. I feel like they're not one to shy away from doing the thing.
Yeah.
And I was happy about that.
Yeah.
I feel like a movie like this could be real routine.
Yes,
or
I
real
agree.
Boring.
Or it could really fall into like a lot of its own traps.
Yeah.
Of like, let's just like keep making like these kills or whatever the case might be. But Like, they kind of, like, tried to stage it in a story and then build some kills in, which I think, like, moderately works, but I think I agree with you that I haven't seen the first one, but you were telling me that the first one is, like, much more, like, straightforward.
Yeah, I think the from what I remember, the first one's much more, like, stripped down. The second one is the one where it builds this story, but the second one is, I believe, the longest one. Aaron may call me out on that, but I think the second one is the longest one, and I felt that one. And I also kind of felt this one near the end. I was like, okay, let's get to something.
Yeah.
You know, it does end on a bang, but let's get to something.
Did you like the end? Or actually, let's say that for Aaron.
All right, well, those are some quick initial thoughts. We're going to get Aaron on the horn here, and we're going to put it all together for all the listeners out there. Okay, and we have the third member of the guest of our crew here, co-host Aaron Newworth. Aaron, Marcus and I are out together, finished Terrifier 3. I'm still standing in one piece. Marcus didn't laugh at me once in the theater, although he looked over a couple times to make sure I was like, not passed out, I guess. We did it.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm very proud of you. And I'm excited to talk a little bit more about this movie. I'll just say, I saw this a week ago at this point at a crowded Beyond Fest screening with a lot of people that were very geared up to cheer for the various forms of brutality taking place. That includes me, although the main part I cheered in was the part that featured an explosion, where I could not stop laughing for a good number of minutes after it occurred.
I think Mark and us are both laughing at that point, too.
Like, I don't think I've it's not about how funny it is, but in terms of the length that I was laughing, I haven't, like, minutes later still been laughing at a scene like that since Toy Story 4.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, that Key and Peele bit in Toy Story 4 killed me, and this was, like, the closest I've gotten to being, like, I'm still laughing at this thing from, like, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, that was a good bit. Like, I think that there were, Marcus and I were talking earlier, that there's some stuff that we were just, kept us going or kept me going from passing out and kind of looking away from the screen is just curious, like, how they did all this practical stuff I know that you and I were chatting off mic about, like, three scenes that you're like, oh, Abe is going to be probably, like, I'm very curious around three scenes that he's going to see on the screen. I'm curious if I can name those three scenes for you.
Okay, let's play this game. What do you think those three scenes?
Well, I think the first scene is obviously the opening scene, the cold open.
That's one of the scenes, yes.
Yeah, where it's just like, okay, great. He's terrifying in a house with kids, and I was like, oh, because I hadn't seen two in depth and one at all. And Marcus, I don't know if Marcus was kind of telling me about some of this, but does Art kill kids on screen?
He's killed kids. The first movie he's in, he kills kids, yes.
That's right, yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, because I was
screen? That's all of
it's never on screen. It's usually like you see the aftermath, because even there's limits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I was just
but just to clarify before we go further, despite my pleas for you to watch Terrifier 2, you did not watch Terrifier 2. Is that what you're telling me?
I could not stomach watching two Terrifiers back-to-back.
Okay, so I'm just going to keep that as a grain of salt when you ask me various plot questions that would be resolved if you had seen Terrifier 2. Okay.
Right. Indeed, yeah. Okay, so the next scene is probably the shower scene.
Yes.
Which elongated, you know, it's very elongated in the sequence of what it's doing. I think Marcus and I were also laughing at points during that scene.
Yeah.
Were you, Aaron?
I mean, in those kind of scenes, it's not so much about the laughter I'm having. It's more like I'm certainly entertained by, like you mentioned, the practical effects work and, like, the fact that it goes. It's very much like a Sideshow Bob thing. It's the rape gag where, you know, it happens and it's going so long that you think it would stop being funny, but then it kind of comes back around to being funny again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say this isn't necessarily the same, like, haha, I'm laughing because of all the mutilation, but there's such a prolonged take on it, much like in 2, where it goes beyond the what am I supposed to feel about this, and we're just like, this is still going, because that makes it that gives it an entertainment value in itself.
Now, I will say, I did feel bad. I don't know if you did, Marcus, because his roommate seemed to actually be a pretty decent guy. I'm like, I don't want to put him through, like, all this stuff here. Stop, like stop trying to get him for, like, this podcast.
I he was kind of a jerk. And then when his girlfriend came around, he was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. Like, yeah. Let's get her out of here. I feel bad for you.
Yeah, he had empathy up to that once that occurred. Sure. Right.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what? Maybe I should stop being a dick for a second and tell my girlfriend to stop requesting that this victim be on the podcast.
Yeah. I agree. And then I think the last thing that you were probably thinking about was one involving rats and throats.
Yes. You nailed this. You got
okay.
one.
Wow. Yes. Oh. Yeah, I was like, I was making mental notes, Aaron. I was making mental notes.
Why that scene in particular?
Because I know my friend Abe. That's why.
what
do you want me to say?
Yeah, okay. I was like, okay, I've seen this on Game of Thrones before.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen rat type stuff in Too Fast, Too Furious. I just don't think it's done more disgustingly in this movie.
Sure, that's good point. Fair.
Okay, Aaron, what did you think of the ending of this movie here? Because I'm overall, it leaves itself open for a Terrifier 4 for sure. But just curious if you're down with Art the Clown.
Well, I'm always down with Art the Clown, that's for sure. No one gets down like Art the Clown, so, I mean, I'm down with him. In terms of the ending, like, what seems very clear to me is while the first film, the first Terrifier, not counting the anthology film that Art was in beforehand, but the first Terrifier movie, that's clearly more of like a prologue as far as this is Art's deal. He does this stuff, this is how he rolls, you're either with it or you're not. Now, with 2 and now 3, it seems very much like we've set up a new trilogy, where 2 is the first part, and this third chapter is now clearly a middle section before we get to whatever the fourth is, which is supposedly going to be the finale. So, in terms of the ending here, it's clearly a stopgap, not unlike comparable films like Empire Strikes Back.
Sure, just like that. What a good comp!
So in terms of like the ending, I'm like, on the one hand, and having only seen it the once so far, it's like, well, it just kind of stops. But I'm aware that there's going to be more to come that's going to, you know, provide some kind of finality to what this particular story involving Art and Sienna is going to be. So
okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm like let down or anything, but the fact that it doesn't have like a specific conclusion, or at least an end point that's satisfying in all character arcs. But in terms of my expectation, like, okay, I see what we're doing. We've kind of presented enough stuff to get things going for the next one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Grain of salt time or chip on the shoulder time for me to ask questions to you, Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Why was she committed to a psychiatric hospital?
Why was who committed to a psychiatric hospital?
Sienna.
Well, I don't believe she was committed. I believe she said she was just in and out of psych wards because she was, you know, she went through literal hell in the previous movie. And I imagine if you survive Encounters of Art the Clown, you're not exactly like, and now I'm right as rain. Let me just walk out my life.
Right. But they didn't say like, oh, well, you know, the cops didn't get her and be like, oh, she's crazy. She's talking about this clown in a tiny hat killing people. And we got to lock her up kind of thing. It wasn't that, right? Like, there was no establishing story.
Because Art the Clown, they're aware that this person exists and committed many atrocities, and then they never found his body and whatnot. It's like, they're aware that there's an Art the Clown out there. They just don't really have an explanation for what it is.
Okay. And then...
But yes, it wasn't like, they thought she did it or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
she's just
she
going through natural...
Yeah.
She's just going through PTSD, and so she's like, I need some help.
Okay, got it. And then, who is the person that is helping Art out?
Vicky, that is the older sister of Tara, who was in the first film. Vicky was the sole survivor of things that happened, and she was mutilated in the process, as you can see by her face.
Yep.
She also appears at the post-credit scene of the second film.
I remember
to remind
this now,
you
yeah.
that she's out there.
Because that whole entire prison cell, or that cell sequence.
With Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's, and also, not only is she, like, you know, a victim of Art, but in the second film, there is the little girl, there's a little girl character also dressed like Art the Clown, or at least similarly, and whatever was going on with that character, like, the spirit of that character seems to have possessed Vicky. That's, like, what's going
on
there.
Right.
Okay.
It's all coming back to me now.
Marcus remembers everything now. Okay.
So that's why Vicky, a person who was a victim of Art, would be on the side of Art now, because she's possessed by whatever little girl demon stuff.
Got it, okay.
On.
Yeah.
And that was established in the second one, not in the first one.
Second one. The second one has a story.
Okay.
The second one has the plot that establishes this. The first one just has that character, but then this one just brings that character back in full form.
Got it. Okay. But yeah, like, overall, it was a good experience.
Yeah.
Like, Marcus and I were trying to figure out how they're doing some of the practical effects. At a point, we said this in the earlier bit, but you weren't there. A couple of people left in our screening at the shower scene, Aaron.
At the shower scene. I thought, like, it was curious to why they left at the shower scene. They had sat through so much.
They sat through like 75% of the movie.
Yeah, they had, I think at that point a kid had blown up. Right? Is that? I believe so.
It occurs all around that same time. Yeah. I just want to point out. Because I still want to hear what you guys actually. I don't know what you guys actually thought of it overall. But I want to just note.
Oh, we saved that for talking with you.
Yeah, you haven't got over what you thought of it. Oh, okay. Oh, like, we're going to do that.
The final grading and also, like, what we kind of, like, initially thought about. Like, just initial thoughts were had.
Okay, well, that's fair. I just want to note that right now as we're talking, my friend of the show, Scooter, has appeared, and we're gearing up to watch it again. Like, he's hasn't seen it. I've seen it. So we're right after I'm done doing this, we're going to go and watch the movie.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Okay.
Scooter, yell hi really quick.
Hello.
Okay.
No, you should have told him to be silent, like Art.
But he's been doing bits already, so he's fine. But
he's just smiling at you.
I'm honestly surprised he didn't walk into my room right now wearing an Art costume just to freak me out knowing I'd be doing this podcast.
I think, like, in terms of, like, the what I thought of it, it wasn't a terrible movie. Like, I think that it actually wasn't, like, it wasn't one of those where it's like, oh my gosh, I can't see any value in this. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. It actually has some interesting things that it has to show and to offer. I just don't think that, like, I think some of the clunkiness that it comes from is sort of where it had that storyline that it has to, like, pick up and build for a lot of different characters. And those characters, like, you know, pretty interchangeable. I think there's some good acting coming from some of the characters. But on the whole, like, I kind of, like, dug it for, like, the darkness of it. I didn't dig, like, you know, the whole entire... I think, like, that last final act was like, okay, well, it's getting pretty religious good book here, and I don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, at the same time, like, it's pretty cool about some of the imagery that it's doing, like, when it's, you know, she's seeing, like, somebody chain making, like, some sort of, like, guardian gear, and, like, the angels are holding them by chains and everything else, but, I didn't hate it, Aaron.
I didn't think you would hate it. I would want to know, like, your reaction to seeing, like, full on Art the Clown for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you enjoy. I mean, to be fair, it is the best reviewed murder clown movie of the month so far. So, I mean, it's not
the month so far. Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many other murder clown movies are coming out within this month. So, yeah, I just want to say so far to be clear.
But what about you, Marcus?
Marcus, where were you?
You know, I thought the same as I thought of the last one. I think Art is irresistible. I think
in terms of attractiveness and skill,
of course. I think he makes every scene that he's in better. I think that the story is lacking for me. I didn't care. Uh-huh. And scenes without Art are kind of a hard sell. With the last one, my issue was. It had to establish that story, that kind of, like, mystical, you know, wizardry thing. And this
supernatural
one.
Element.
Supernatural, oh, yes, okay.
That's the word.
Sure. Yes. And in this one, it didn't have to do that, but I was reminded of how much I didn't love this story. That said, in this one. I was really in awe of the practical effects. Okay. Like, there was a lot of talent thrown at the screen, and I was just, you know, I noticed it. It was super noticeable.
I
so,
think you also said that, like, you could see that there was money put behind this.
Yeah, you could see. Yeah, like, I could see that there was a lot more money maybe put behind this thing. I would love to watch, like, a behind-the-scenes thing on how these practical effects were put together. That's how much I believe this paid homage to kind of like 80s horror. But yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
well, yeah. I mean, the The second one, which was partially kickstarted, and I believe this one also had a bit of that at least, but that last one cost $250,000. This one cost $2 million. So it's like, okay. It's not like, I mean, that's, you know, for a lot of people, that's plenty of money, and it's certainly a high, you know, percentage-wise, that's a big increase, but it's not like it's a substantial amount to get where we're at here. And with that in mind, I do think it remains impressive by how much is getting done and how much appears on screen. Something I like about this one on that level alone is that it has, and I think the second one is really good about how it uses production value and whatnot to its fullest, given its limitations. I think this one doesn't have to worry about as many limitations. There's a lot of scenes with extras in them, for example, just like things like that make a world feel real. The fact that it's set in winter.
It's a good call.
At Christmas time specifically, like it has even more of lived in quality. But I think one thing goes for sure, regardless of the story, which it's a Terrifier sequel, so it's like, how much do we really need to put into that? It's still this and the last one, they're well-directed movies. They're movies that there's clearly have, like, skill behind the camera in terms of what's being put on screen.
Damien Leone.
He's certainly a talent, and I admire what he's doing here. As far as the film itself, you know, having seen it just the once, and maybe I'll like it more this time around, much like I like two every time I watch it more, I do think we're at more of a plateau than a raise. I wouldn't necessarily say three is better than two, but I do think it's doing a lot of the things that I like that two also did very well. Both of these being better than the first movie, which is certainly brutal and has plenty of, you know, practical effects or whatnot to show off the things. And of course, David Howard Thornton, who's fantastic as Arthur Clown. This is the best thing about all these movies. I agree. No question.
Okay.
But for this third one, like, in addition to art, I would say I do still think Lauren Rivera as Sienna, the final girl of these past two movies, I think she's great. I think she does a great job of being a great counterbalance to art. Are the other characters interchangeable, like Marcus is saying? Sure. I mean, it's, at the end of the day, it's still just a gory slasher movie, so it's like, I can't, like, expect too much in that regard.
Yeah.
I given where things go and where things could go in the next one, I'm kind of in a wait and see as far as how the story plays. I will say, compared to the last one, which was 2 hours and 15 minutes, this one being shorter, I don't necessarily think it makes it better, because I do feel like there's editing stuff going on here that feels like a deliberate attempt to satisfy certain people that were complaining about the excessive runtime of the last one.
Interesting.
The last one's certainly long. I wouldn't necessarily say overlong. Like, I don't feel like just because it's that long, I'm like getting too much stuff. I do think that the scenes fill themselves out well, where I think this one, it feels like there's judicious edits being made in order to streamline the film. But as a result, you know, without getting into it, there's some stuff I can see that feels like it was a result of editing tactics that I don't think necessarily did it for the better. A lot of that's, like, nitpicking, because for the most part, the things I came to see for Terrifier 3 are there. It has art. It has disgusting things. Yeah. It has cool Sienna. It has terrible kills happening to people that don't deserve the level of punishment they're receiving. It somehow operates with a tone that I really appreciate. I think you could do this kind of thing in other movies. I think the Hellraiser movies, for example, and even Saw to an extent, you have that as well. But it's not nearly as fun to watch. And whatever it is about these Terrifier films, whether it's purely just David Howard Thornton's performance as art or Leone's gritty camera work or whatever, it's working for me. It's doing the job.
I hear you.
And in a world of slasher films, which I'm not trying to like down talk as if like these films can't possibly be any better. There's plenty of great slasher movies. But in this kind of realm where the expectation of acting and story and whatnot to be seen to the nth degree, I'm not too dissatisfied by what it's doing, because for one thing, it does feel like it's thought out, which I could, that gets more credit for me than just ones that are like, I guess we have to have a story on this, so let's just add something on top of it. It feels like this is actually like there's a plan in place.
In addition
to that, it just looks great, and it has all the good practical effects, and it has all this stuff that really works. So it's like, I'm a fan of this one for sure. And I think, you know, as always, the best kind of thing I could say is I want more of this.
Yeah,
and this certainly gives me a reason to want more of this.
Yeah, like, there is, like, this somewhat dark charm to art, like what you're saying, Where yeah. I can see that he's kind of like, you know, funny. When he's slapping people on the back of the head, it's like, I think the audience kind of laughed. Marcus, the audience clapped when this movie was over. Like, they love art.
They were ready to, like Aaron said, they were ready to, if you go in a crowd, they're ready to enjoy the movie. It's a more enjoyable watch.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and anyone that's going into Terrifier 3 should have a level of expectation for what they're going
that's
to get.
Point.
This
yeah.
is true, unless you're like taking like your grandma or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but you're not with your grandma looking at the marquee and going, "What's playing right now? Oh, Saturday night, Wild Robot. Oh, Terrifier 3,
it's
grandma.
About
let's
Santa
go to
it's
yeah,
a Christmas
yeah, yeah,
movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
No, but to what Aaron was saying about the direction of this, there's a pattern of like really good sequences,
okay.
Really good bits
yeah.
that are carrying through. Uh-huh. And I feel like in that first one with the Halloween store, I don't know if I guess it would be a Halloween store or something like that.
Yeah. And the last one, the second one.
With the last one. And then this yeah. one, I feel like there was a bar sequence that
yeah.
was very
yes.
good.
Yeah.
And
some
new,
good cameos.
Some
yeah.
good cameo. Yeah, exactly. And also was like in on the joke. Like
yes.
this is the level of humor we're going for. And we're gonna take it, and even before we get to the kill, we're gonna do a nice little lead up, and we're gonna take
yeah,
our time with
it.
It
is a good lead up.
Yeah,
that's it's got a lot of fun art stuff. For sure. I'm trying
yeah.
to be vague too, because Scooter and I are literally about to watch this movie. But
yeah.
like,
right.
I read that sequence in particular, he was channeling Will Ferrell's energy in Elf. That was what he was going
that
for.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Also, I do want to say that like
that makes sense.
It's really fun to have all these cameos, like what you're saying, Aaron. Like I picked up on it too.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's really fun to see like Clint Howard. It's like of course he would do yeah. a movie, or like yeah. John Roebuck. You know what I mean? Like it's actually really fun to see all these character actors kind of just like in this movie, because it kind of just shows you how art has grown.
Yeah.
But also it just adds to like something like the fun factor. And it's a weird thing to say for like this movie that is like horrific and whatever else, but there is like some mm-hmm. level of like dark humor fun in this movie as well.
Right. Chris Jericho.
Well, I do hope you
Chris
catch
Jericho.
Up with the second
right.
one, Abe.
Marcus elbowed me.
I think he was in the yeah. last one, right? I'm
Who,
not.
Who's there?
Chris Jericho.
The orderly at the...
yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah. He's in the post-credit scene of the last one.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I was saying, Abe, I do hope you catch up with the second one soon, because it's also very good. Like, if you like this one, you'll only like that one.
Yeah. I did have a question, because it's all coming back to me, that second one. But the second one is darker, right? Am I tripping, or is there kind
I
of
would
like
argue,
the same?
I would argue it's darker by nature of arts in that film is not the pop culture icon he's become in the couple
okay.
years since then.
Okay.
And I think this one leans a bit more on, it is still funny. Like, art is still funny. I literally just watched the second one again. So, like, I'm
yeah.
very aware of how humorous that movie is.
Right.
But I do think Leone himself is aware of how fun art can be, and I think
right.
he's catering to that a bit more in this one.
Okay.
And just because, you know, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Sure.
It's a spirit. It's a Yuletide spirit.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. That's
you gotta have some joy in the world,
that's
I guess.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
We did it. Aaron,
we've
got thoughts.
I'm proud of you. You did it.
Hey, it was a team effort. Team effort. I'm glad that our little joke became reality. We might have to do more of this more often
yeah.
with horror movies, where I was like, Marcus.
I like, yes, for sure.
Yeah, for Skinner Ring Part 2, when I'm just like, I don't know what I'm watching, man, but I'm fucking crazed out.
We're going to watch Antichrist together.
But yeah, no, Art the Clown, you know, little scamp.
When do people see this movie?
I think if you're a fan of it, you should go check it out in theaters. It's weird because Marcus and I were like watching people go into the theater. No. There were like children going with their parents. I was like, what is happening here?
It's fun for the whole
family. As I mentioned at Beyond Fest, there was a 12-year-old boy with his mother that was
yeah.
there to see the movie, and he stayed the whole time. Apparently,
I get it. When I was walking into the movie, I was like, when I started watching the movie, I was like, why do I remember it being more a little bit darker? But maybe it's just. Like you said, the director is going, okay, I understand what I can do with this. I can have a little bit more fun with
yeah.
this. It's not just all downbeat or whatever.
I mean, I do think this movie gets pretty dark as well.
I think the third act stops
with the,
sure,
the pleasantry
yeah.
of art being around and gets a little
this
more
is
serious.
True.
But I know what you're saying. I do think it's a more consistently funny
sure.
movie by design.
Yeah.
Compared to the first one, where it's like, can you believe we're getting away with this? And that's kind
yeah.
of funny.
I wouldn't say take your kids to the second one, but yeah, take your kids to this one.
Yeah, I think it's like theater worthy for you to go check out with an audience. The audience is like pretty packed.
I would say check it out with an audience.
But if you're like a little bit unsure, then fine. Yeah, sure. Like HBO, like premium stream. Like, where are you, Marcus?
Yeah, I would say check it out with an audience. If you're not into the prolonged, gory kind of sequences, even if they're done in kind of like an upbeat way here, I would kind of skip it. But I don't think you're going to go see a movie called Terrifier. If you're not into it. It's not, I will say this, I was going into this talking to Abe about like The Last Saw and it giving me the kind of a similar feeling of like prolonged torture kind of stuff, but it didn't. I was worried. I was like, oh, this is gonna be that kind of stuff, because in The Last Saw there was stuff that was like gave me a little bit more squeamish kind of stuff. And it's a different story, obviously, and it's a different character. It's played for different, you know, audiences. But, yeah, I think this is more of a wide audience than Saw.
More of a wide audience. Where are you sitting with this, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the nature of these things being these unrated gore fests, that's going to attract a certain audience and be absolutely abhorrent to other audiences. But I think, yes, those that are aware of what this is, there's more of this and you get to enjoy it on a big screen with its biggest release yet and likely its highest grossing release yet. So I would be happy for anyone to get on that train that wants to be on that train and just know that Art does not mean well, but he's a gas to be around.
Yeah.
So fair.
Don't take any buses at night. All right, well, Aaron, I hope that you and Scooter have a good time watching this as well. I hope that you elbow him and be like, "See, wasn't that funny?" At particular points. But
I hope that you two drive safely and do not stop for any clowns on the way.
I would never do that. Never. All right. Well, that's it for this special episode. We will get this up and running, and then we'll have a full episode this coming Sunday.
Yeah, so until next time, so long.
And goodbye.